Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Eric Scheidler. Eric Scheidler is co-director of the National Day of Remembrance. He's also the executive director of the Pro-Life Action Leader. The Pro-Life Action League. He's certainly a pro-life leader based in the Chicago area. And soon, Planned Parenthood will be celebrating its 100th anniversary, and Eric Scheidler is helping to organize a movement basically to pray for Planned Parenthood to change its ways, which that's a tall order. Eric, welcome back to the program.
I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Sure. So tell us what they're doing, they're planning, and what you're planning in reference to it.
Well, Planned Parenthood, Mark.
Okay, now it's really hard to hear you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, that sounds better. Go ahead.
Planned Parenthood this month is marking their 100th anniversary. It's the anniversary of the day that Margaret Sanger, their founder, who was a member of the eugenics movement, founded her first birth control clinic in New York City. And that clinic later grew into the American Birth Control League, which was renamed the Planned Parenthood Federation of America in the 1940s. And they have been promoting this concept of birth control, of limiting the family, especially for minorities and the poor, who Margaret Sanger called human weeds, and since 1970, promoting abortion. Planned Parenthood actually officially used to be against abortion, but since 1970, they've become the nation's largest abortion provider, committing about a third of all U.S. abortions every single year, over 300,000. That's one every 97 seconds. So as Planned Parenthood celebrates this anniversary, talking about all the great things they claim to do. They always try to minimize their role in the abortion industry because they know it's an unpopular subject. We are going to be confronting them with prayer at many of their abortion facilities around the country. We aim for 100 facilities, one for each year of their existence, and we've topped that number. We've got about 115 around the country where people are going to come out and confront Planned Parenthood with prayer.
All right, and this is called the National Day of Remembrance.
National Day of Remembrance is a similar activity. That's something that we do every September to mark all of the victims of abortion throughout the country. So just a few weeks ago, pro-lifers gathered at over 150 locations around the country where unborn children's bodies are buried and other memorial markers established in their honor. This is a related event because one of our major goals through these prayers at Planned Parenthood facilities is to mourn for the 7.3 million children that Planned Parenthood has aborted over the past four decades.
How many was it?
7.3 million children have been aborted by Planned Parenthood.
And yet they...
Their very first abortion in 1970.
Now, we hear that since 1973, since Roe v. Wade, about 60 million unborn babies have been killed.
That's right. So Planned Parenthood's share of those abortions is about 7.3 million. But that number is actually shifting. Planned Parenthood has been cornering the abortion market. Year after year after year, the abortion rate has gone down in the United States. But Planned Parenthood's abortion numbers have been going up. They've been doing fewer and fewer other services. They see fewer and fewer patients every single year, and yet they do more and more abortions. So Planned Parenthood really is abortion incorporated. This is something they don't really want people to know. They try to minimize their role in the abortion industry. They claim that abortion is only 3% of their services, using ridiculous mathematics that even the liberal website Slate has called meaningless. They try to claim that if you go for an abortion, you're also getting maybe you're going to get a pregnancy test, you're going to get an ultrasound, you're going to get some birth control pills, you're going to talk to a counselor for a couple minutes maybe. And they're going to call all those individual services. It'd be like when I go to buy a new car and I also buy a candy bar or maybe a bag of Skittles out of the vending machine, and then saying, well, a car was only 1% of what you bought because there were 99 Skittles and one car. So we're really just a Skittles company, not a car company. Well, Planned Parenthood is an abortion company. Abortion is their number one source of clinic income. It's the one service they provide that is not provided by the thousands of federally qualified health centers around the country that provide all the other services that they do and more. You don't go to Planned Parenthood for the common cold. You don't go to Planned Parenthood if your child breaks his arm. You don't go to Planned Parenthood if you're suffering with depression. You only go to Planned Parenthood for pap smear, for STD test, contraceptives, maybe a breast exam, but not a mammogram, or, above all, for an abortion.
Okay, what percentage would you say, I mean, I don't know if there's any statistics on this, of women who have, let's say, an unwanted pregnancy, they go to Planned Parenthood, and they get counseled by Planned Parenthood to consider adoption as an option?
Over 90% of the women who walk through the doors of Planned Parenthood pregnant get an abortion. They do infinitesimally small level of adoption referrals. In some years, they don't even report any adoption referrals on their annual report. So you go to Planned Parenthood pregnant, excuse me, you're like 97% likely to get an abortion. A tiny fraction of Planned Parenthood patients will get an adoption referral. And they used to provide prenatal care at one or two of their facilities, but they've been phasing that out.
You just said 90%, and then you said 97%. Maybe I misunderstood part of what you're saying.
Yeah, no. Just speaking more generally, it's over 90% of the women who go through the doors of Planned Parenthood pregnant will wind up with an abortion. I believe the exact figure is about 97%.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Wow.
I cannot be specific with that.
Yeah. Protestpp.com for more information. What do you actually hope to happen, and on what particular day?
Well, most of the prayer vigils that we've organized around the country are taking place on October 15th. And for various reasons, some of them are on the 14th or the 16th or even other days of the month. So you have to check the list and see where something's happening in your area. We want to see hundreds of pro-lifers, thousands of pro-lifers coming out across the country to pray in reparation for abortion, to pray in mourning for all those abortion victims, to pray for an end to Planned Parenthood's $500 million annual government subsidy through Medicaid and other federal programs and state programs. Pray for the truth about Planned Parenthood to be exposed to our culture. Planned Parenthood, despite all of their the horrific things we've learned about their harvesting of baby body parts, their Medicaid fraud, their lying to city and state officials when they build their abortion centers, despite all of it, they still enjoy a very positive public image. They spend a lot of money trying to build up that public image. And so we can't match them dollar for dollar, but we can match them, we can invest them in his prayer, because they don't have the Lord on their side. And they don't have the power of prayer. Hmm. So we want to see people learning about Planned Parenthood, sharing the truth about Planned Parenthood, bringing those prayers to bear on this battle, but also committing themselves to a regular pro-life presence at Planned Parenthood's facilities, because when we're there, women choose life. Women will often, you know, their companions will drive right on by and never get the abortion just because one person was standing outside saying a prayer that day. The decision to get an abortion is one that most women make very, very reluctantly. And any reason is a good reason not to do it, including just seeing somebody standing with a Bible and praying outside an abortion clinic.
Interesting. You know, what percentage would you say of women who have abortions later come to regret it?
We don't really know exactly those numbers because it's such a private decision. It's one that many women struggle with silently, you know, alone for many, many years. There's a group called the Elliott Institute based in Springfield, Illinois, that's done a great deal of research on this. But the challenge is that we don't get to see these numbers. And if someone shows up back at the abortionist's office, whether it's Planned Parenthood or someone else, suffering with this the shame and guilt and misery of abortion, the abortion providers are not going to report that back to the Centers for Disease Control or put that in their annual report. They don't want, you know, the downside of abortion to be exposed in that way. So we have much more kind of anecdotal evidence of the number of women that feel that kind of regret. We do know that about two-thirds of the women going for abortion say that they feel coerced. It's all of this propaganda about a free choice and you know, pro-choice. Most women getting abortions feel they have no choice, that abortion is their only choice. And they don't want to kill their baby. They just want to be unpregnant. But that's not possible.
Well, who's the one that's forcing them? Their parents? Their
husband?
Well,
I wouldn't necessarily say forced. I mean, there are forced abortions where a woman, especially a young girl, will be forcibly held onto the surgical table and forcibly aborted. Oof. This happens, and these stories are out there, and they're horrifying.
In America.
But But coercion is a more subtle thing. They get the threat from their parents. We're going to kick you out of the house. I hear that all the time. My parents are going to kick me out of the house if I have this baby.
Yeah.
Or we hear that the boyfriend is going to break up with them, or the husband's going to break up with them. Or a woman is having an affair, and she gets pregnant, and she's afraid that her husband will find out. And, the boyfriend or the affair is pushing her to get the abortion. It can come from parents and teachers, from friends, from the culture around them. So that sense of coercion is a factor in most abortions.
We're talking right now with Eric Scheidler, who is executive director of the Pro-Life Action League. He's also co-director of the National Day of Remembrance, a day of prayer in reference to Planned Parenthood. Protestpp.com for more information. You mentioned Medicaid fraud. That's not necessarily well known. Explain that, Planned Parenthood and Medicaid fraud.
Right. Well, Planned Parenthood has been caught in several states, including California and my own home state of Illinois, where the Pro-Life Action League is based, defrauding the government. There was a major settlement in Illinois. Their medical director was brought up on charges, an abortionist named Carolyn Hoke. But Planned Parenthood is very crafty. They will always settle these fraud claims because they don't want a judgment against them. If they were to be found guilty of Medicaid fraud by a court, by a judge, they would become ineligible for Medicaid, not only in that state, but in all 50 states. Planned Parenthood gets $500 million a year from federal and state governments. And so they are desperate to avoid ever having to really be truly accountable for that fraud. But that has happened, and those cases are known.
What did they specifically do? Can you explain what did they do? This is not well known.
Right. They will overcharge the government. I mean, most of the money that Planned Parenthood is getting from governments is for contraceptives and also for STD screenings and other things like that. They will overcharge the government. They will double charge. You know, for example, they will get money from the patient but also get reimbursement for the full amount of the service, usually, again, contraceptives that they're providing. They will bill the government far more than the services are actually costing them and far more than the law really would allow.
Boy, could you imagine if 60 Minutes or, some agency like that where they do investigative journalism, could you imagine if they weren't so committed to the, pro-abortion ethic or whatever, if they were to do some, undercover investigation or whatever, but look at what happened with David DeLayden, and frankly, a year later, that poor guy has just had, one legal problem after another, and America still, as you say, still by and large like Planned Parenthood. I don't get it.
And Jerry, I'm always a challenging reporters when I talk to them to look into these questions. Look into the actual cases of medical malpractice for which Planned Parenthood is guilty. Look into the ambulances that we see coming out to the abortion facility.
Ambulances.
And we're told that abortion is safe, that it's one of the safest procedures of all. And yet we have scant reporting. All over the country, there are states that don't report any of these things. In the state of Illinois, unless there are 50 abortion deaths in a county, we never find out about any of them. And so we don't know. We don't know how many women are dying at these clinics. We don't know how many women are winding up in emergency rooms.
But you know that some are.
Even tell them. The abortionists will tell them, if you have complications, tell them you're having a miscarriage. So we don't know how safe abortion actually is, and the abortion industry doesn't want us to know. There is a Pulitzer Prize waiting, just waiting there for some journalist to come along and pick it off the sidewalk and walk off with it, because there's so much corruption in the abortion industry, especially at Planned Parenthood, that they just don't want to cover because they're ideologically blinded to it, and they've bought the lie from Planned Parenthood. What is Planned Parenthood's only card in their back? It's pro-lifers are bad guys. So they make David DeLayden, who risked so much to shoot these videos showing Planned Parenthood harvesting and selling body parts, they play him out to be the bad guy. He's the one who's dishonest or who's editing videos or who
misleading,
shouldn't be
misleading.
Listened to.
Yep.
The pro-lifers, they try to say that we're not peaceful and all this kind of thing because they don't want us to put the focus on them and what they're doing behind closed doors, killing children, harming women, lying to government, and all the rest of it.
Eric Scheidler, thank you so much for being with us. Eric Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League, protestpp.com for more information. Thank you, and God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Jerry.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.